Luther doesn't really offer any evidence that infants can believe. Really, the brass tacks, the bottom line, is that baptism is commanded. And we see no reason to exclude infants, right? There's no command to exclude infants from baptism, so we should baptize them too. And maybe the more fundamental point is this. Luther thinks we shouldn't be examining someone's faith before baptism, because baptism is not based on our faith, but rather our faith is based on baptism. So it may be that what baptism does is it gives someone faith. For instance, in the Catholic tradition, in Augustine in particular, what happens as a result of baptism is someone becomes a member of the household of the faithful. They are brought into the community of believers. They don't have their own individual faith yet, but they're a member of the community of believers. In that sense, they become believers by baptism. I think Luther is willing to entertain an argument like that. But I think the radical point is this. You can't base baptism on faith, Luther will say. What he means by this is you can't be sure that anyone has faith. Not an infant, not an adult, not yourself. He says you are not sure of your own faith. Right? No one is certain whether they believe. Luther says one must believe, but we neither should nor can know it for certain. You're supposed to believe in God's word. You believe in God's word, but you don't know whether you believe in it. Because after all, you can be uncertain of your faith, you can be doubting, you can have all sorts of anguish about your faith and crises of faith. So lots of people don't know for sure whether they believe, but they're nonetheless believers. Right? So the crucial thing is to trust in God's word, not to trust in the fact that you believe. Whereas if you're basing your baptism on your faith, then you have to first be confident or even certain that you believe. And Luther says no one is certain that they believe. We don't have that kind of psychological certainty about ourselves. And Luther doesn't want us to base anything in Christianity upon psychological certainty about ourselves, on introspection, right? We don't want to trust ourselves. So Luther tries to explain to us why this is such a bad idea, basing baptism on faith. He imagines someone who has a bad conscience about getting baptized when he was an infant, so he gets rebaptized. But then he has a bad conscience the next day about his rebaptism. He thinks, well, yesterday I don't think I had the fullness of faith. I'm not sure I had really true faith. I'm not sure I had all my heart in it. Let's get baptized again. And Luther thinks, this could go on forever, right? You never have enough faith in your heart to be sure that you deserve to be baptized. That's making it into one more work. And if you think this is absurd, Luther says, you think the devil can't do such things? You'd better get to know him better. Typical Lutheran remark. We'll talk later about why Luther thinks he knows the devil so well. But the devil can certainly do these things. Don't underestimate him, says Luther. So the certainty of faith is based on God's word and on God's baptism, but not on our experience of faith, on our knowledge that we believe, on our trust that we believe. Faith is not based on faith. Right? The Christian faith is based on God's word, not on itself. Finally, Luther does add a striking argument from tradition. Not from Scripture, but from tradition. And here's the argument. If infant baptism is not valid, then for around 1,000 years or more, there have been no baptized Christians. Because virtually all the Christians of Christendom, for well over 1,000 years in Luther's time, had been baptized as infants. So all these great saints and Christians for thousands of years were not really Christians. They weren't really baptized. And surely God would not abandon his people in that way. We know from Scripture God doesn't abandon his people. So we can argue on the basis of the historical tradition that this must be a valid sacrament, this infant baptism, or else God wouldn't have let it go on like that. But notice again, what we've got here is an affirmation that puts Luther much closer to Catholicism than certainly any Anabaptists were, right? He's arguing from tradition. He's saying that those 1,000 years of the papacy were real Christian times. He, in fact, in this treatise on concerning rebaptism, he actually does affirm that the papacy, the papal church for those 1,000 years, really did bear the gifts of Christ, so that he says, we for our part confess that there is much that is Christian and good under the papacy. Surprise, surprise. People's jaws must have dropped when they first read this. Indeed, everything that is Christian and good is to be found there and has come to us from that source. For instance, in the papal church, there are the true and holy scriptures, true baptism, true sacrament of the altar, the true catechism in the form of the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments and the Creed.